not your own. You are bought with a price. And so we belong to Christ. And in a very real sense, we belong to all the others. We belong to one another. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesied, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. There's a balance here. This passage started out by the grace given me. There's a balance. The grace is that gift that is given to you from God. The charisma gift, the charisma that God has given you, the emphasis that He's placed upon your hearts, the gift that you have, we all have to remember that that is a gift that is given to us from God. There's no reason for us to boast. We're not to think of ourselves more highly than we ought, simply because God has given us that gift. It's His gift. It's His ministry. It's His calling. And all glory is to Him. And we work together. We're not independent. But we're dependent upon God, and we're dependent upon one another. We're working together. By the same token, there is no false modesty. Regarding the gift that God has given you, it says, let Him use it. And so we're not to be one to say, well, I don't really have anything to offer. You know, I'm not really good in anything. But we all have something that we have to offer. We all have a gift that God wants us to use, that we will work together and serve others and serve God as part of a well-functioning body.
Amen.
Most everything, I guess, what is it, the kidney or something? What is it that doesn't, that they say that, that doesn't, that the doctors don't know have something to do with the body?
The appendix,
alright? I mean, it probably does. It's probably, when they get to heaven, we'll probably find out what the appendix is there for. Alright? But everything in our body has a function. It has a purpose. And everything, all the parts of our body have to work together for the healthiness of the body and for a well-functioning body. We're to use the gift that is given us. And you know what? Our gift, when we use our gift, we are fulfilled in doing and using our gift. We are rewarded in using our gift. There's something about using our gift that is fulfilling. But you know what? That's not why we use our gift. We use our gift for a more deeper reason. We use our gift more for a more necessary reason. We use our gift so that we can contribute to the well-functioning of the body.
Amen.
So that there will be a healthy body.
Amen.
That is why we use our gift. Let's go back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, and we were all given the one Spirit to drink.
Amen.
There is diversity in the body. The body is made up of many parts. And one principle of body life is that there is to be unity among diversity. God's vision for the church, and we talked about that many times, God's vision for the church is that all nations would come together to worship Christ as one. It's been said that 11 o'clock on Sunday morning is the most segregated hour of the week. That should not be. God's heart, God's desire is that all nations, people from all backgrounds, would come together to worship Christ as one. I don't have the time right now to show you in the Word of God, where specifically the Word of God talks about nations streaming up the mountain to worship Christ on His holy mountain as one. But it's there. You can read about it in our bulletin, in our vision statement, inside the bulletin. And so the principle here is unity among diversity. We all have the same Spirit. We all have the same Holy Spirit. Whether we're slave or free, whether we're rich or poor, we are all part of one body. With diversity, the natural course and people's natural tendencies is toward disunity, where we separate by our likes. All right, we're like this people, or we're like that people. In people's natural course, they separate, all right, and there's disunity according to their, you know, what they're like. In order for unity to occur, we need the supernatural word of Christ in our lives. And so a principle of body life is that we need to work at being a unified body. Left to ourselves, it doesn't happen naturally. It's not an easy thing to have an all-nations church. It's not an easy thing to have a body life church. It's not an easy thing to have a church in which you have diversity coming together in true unity. We need to work at being a unified body. It takes effort. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1. What is this supernatural work to be unified? Ephesians 4, verse 1. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Remember, we are set apart as Christ ones, as Christians, as disciples of Christ. We are set apart. Say, I am set apart. I am set apart for a holy purpose. And that we are called by God. We are a royal priesthood. We are a holy nation. We are people belonging to God. We are not just anyone. We are created in the image of God for a purpose. And we are set apart, and God calls us to live a little life worthy of the calling you have received. It says in verse 2, be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. What is this supernatural work that we need to happen in our lives to be unified? It's a work of God's grace. Because first of all, he emphasizes, be completely humble. Humility is a work of God's grace. The Bible says that God gives grace to the humble. We need God's grace. We need his supernatural work in our lives. We need humility to overlook things. We need humility to walk in preference for one another in our differences. We need gentleness. We need to understand that we're to be gentle with others and not harsh with others. We need patience. When we have a hard time maybe understanding someone else that speaks a different language than us, we need to be patient with that person and really express interest and care and say, I want to understand what you're saying. I want you to communicate with me. We need patience. We need to bear with one another in love. Because people from different cultures, from different nations, all right, have different ways of doing things. And so we need to be willing to bear with one another in love. Maybe it's not the way we want it done, but we need to bear with one another in love. It says we need to make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We're having the Gateway Fast right now for families that are coming and making this church family, their church family. We just started it today. And the Gateway Fest is lined around our seven pillars as a church. And one of our pillars is the bond of peace. I remember when the elders went away probably 2 decades ago for retreats, and we prayed through these seven pillars. And what are these seven pillars? Well, of course, they're all biblical values. Alright, what are these seven pillars that we want to emphasize with our people that are really kind of like, you know, how we're going to walk together as a people? We could have made one of them the unity of the Spirit. We could have said, well, one of our pillars is the unity of the Spirit. But we didn't make that decision. We said one of our pillars is going to be the bond of peace. Because it says make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We can talk all day about being unified and being one. Alright, and sing kumbaya and so forth and so on and get around the fireplace. But what happens when we have a disagreement? What happens when we have a conflict? What happens when we're rubbing each other the wrong way? Well, the Lord gives us principles in His Word to work that out in the bond of peace. We are going to have disagreements from time to time. But God calls us to work whatever those disagreements are out in the bond of peace. So we keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. We work it out in peaceful tones in our communication. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. So a principle for body life is that we need to work at being a unified body. It doesn't happen naturally. Left to our natural selves, we would move toward disunity. But we need to work at walking in a unified way. Let's go back again, and I'll keep moving back and forth to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. You can't reason yourself out of being part of the body. You can't just start reasoning, saying, well, I just don't fit in, and start trying to convince yourself that you're not part of the body. You are part of the body of Jesus Christ.
That's right.
If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God, to me, He's like a coach. But in fact, God has arranged the parts of the body, every one of them, just as He wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We have a soccer player in school right now, and his feet are like hands. His feet are like hands. Alright? I mean, you know how you can toss the ball back and forth? I mean, he does that with his feet. I mean, he does this move with his feet where, it's like he throws the ball back and forth between his feet, Alright? And then, the beat better can't keep up with it. Alright? He grew up with a soccer ball. Alright? He's from El Salvador. And God bless Living Grace Christian School with a gift. Just as we were starting our soccer team. Alright? And his feet are like hands. Alright? Just because you're a foot, don't feel bad because you're not a hand. Because it comes in handy, particularly if you're a soccer player. Or a football player. Don't feel inferior. You are not inferior. What you have to offer, your gift, is important and necessary to the well-functioning of the body, whether you're a foot or a hand. And God arranges us like an expert coach does. God arranges us to use our different gifts to bring unity. And so there's no one to be thinking, oh, that person is more gifted than me. He has a better gift than me. No, there is no inferiority complex. We all are part of the body, and we all have something to offer to the healthiness of the body. And then there's the superiority complex. There's no inferiority complex. There's also to be no superiority complex. Look at verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. Now, in running, I know that an injury in one part of the body, as a runner, will impact the other parts of the body. If one part of the body hurts, if one of us hurts, the rest of us hurt.
That's right.
We are dependent on God, and also we are dependent on each other. We We really are to the well-functioning of the body. We need each other. Verse 22. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. You think of the toe. Alright? My toe is very, very ugly because I think I went for an x-ray where I think I had twisted my ankle playing basketball, hurt my ankle playing basketball. I went for an x-ray of my ankle once and they did that, but then they said, well, what about that toe? I think I've probably broken it a number of times and, you know, I just kind of tape it up and keep going. Alright? The toe is a small part of the body. Alright? But as a runner, I know that if that toe is hurting, you can't function. You may have heard, no one is indispensable. No one is indispensable. Alright, the kingdom of God, no one is indispensable. God can raise up different ones to serve Him. But you know what the Bible says right here? The Bible says those that are weaker are indispensable. Those that are weaker are indispensable. Look at verse 23. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. How do we walk this out? We walk this out with people relationship skills, which are all there in the Word of God. It's about how we treat others. It's about how we treat the custodian at work. It's how we treat anyone that we come into contact with. It's how we treat others. It's how we walk this out. We treat people with special honor. We don't look down on anyone. We don't have even a condescending attitude toward anyone. This is how we walk this out. Says that the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty, while our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has combined the members of the body and has given greater honor to the parts that lack it, so that there should be no division in the body. That's why. So that there shall be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. He's given greater honor to the part that lacked it. What's the purpose of how we walk together? Is that there will be no division in the body. We are to have equal concern for one another. 1 Corinthians 12:7 says, now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. On a basketball team, you have defenders, you have ball handlers, you've got rebounders, you've got shooters, you've got passers. Of course, everyone has to do everything, but different players are better at different things. All of the roles in the team are important. I remember playing basketball, and you know, some of these other guys, you know, were better shooters or both better ball handlers. I made it my goal to get every rebound. Did I get every rebound? No, I didn't get every rebound. But I made a goal that when a shot went up, I was going to try my hardest to get a rebound. In doing so, I got more rebounds. Well, in order for a team to score, what do you have to have? You got to have the ball. And when you get a rebound, you get the ball. All right, that's what rebounders are focused on. Get the ball. All right? And you go after the rebounds. Well, rebounders are important. You know, Dennis Rodman, you know, and he was like flying around the court getting rebounds. All right? He was important to his team, even though when he shot a free throw, it was like, you know, back. You know, it didn't really look too good. All right? But he was getting rebounds for his team, and that was very, very important to those championship teams. And a soccer team. I know on a soccer team, I build our soccer team from the back up, which means I depend on my defenders. I'm much more reluctant to substitute on our soccer team for our defenders. I count on those defenders. I get the defenders that I know will do the job, and you know they're going to do exactly what we want them to do. All right, but when a goal is scored, all right, the forwards get all the glory. All right, but we're counting on those defenders that are not getting as much glory. On a football team, All right, it behooves that running back who is being interviewed at the end of the game and he just got a 100-yard rushing game or he scored the winning touchdown. It behooves that running back to give credit to his O-line because who had to open up the holes? All right, the offensive line had to open up the holes. All right, it's not just the one who gets all the credit. All right, it's the team that is working together that works together and makes it work. A team works together. When we emphasize certain ones because of their supposed superior gifts, it leads to division and unhealthiness. And so a good team player, when he is being acknowledged, he needs to also acknowledge those that are working behind the scenes. Those offensive linemen that are opening up the holes. You know, those rebounders that are getting the ball to the shooter. You know, those defenders that are laboring back on defense, you know, while the forward is scoring the goal. Alright? A good team player needs to emphasize those ones. And God, of course, is a great coach. And He's saying here, God is saying here, the greatest coach of all, He's saying, give special honor to those that are playing behind the scenes. Give special honor to those that are working behind the scenes. That's what He does. And so the principle here is that we're to operate in all the gifts. And as we go through the series, we're going to be getting into the various gifts. We're going to be talking about that. But today we're focusing on principles for teamwork, principles for body life. And when the principle here is that we operate in the gifts, that we need to give special honor to those who are working in obscurity. We are a living team working together. We are the body of Christ working together, and all of us have a role to play. Let's stand together. Verse 26 says, if one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. We hurt together. We rejoice together. We suffer loss together. And we experience victory together. You know, I always think, you know, when a football player scores a touchdown, all right, you know, when he goes back and he celebrates with his team, that's great. I like that as opposed to him just going to the crowd and, you know, going like this to the crowd. He needs to go right back to his team and celebrate with his team and honor his team at that point. Verse 27 is a summary statement. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. You are Christ's body. We are Christ's body. And each one of you is a part of that body. Every single one of you have something very important to offer to make sure that this body is healthy, that this body is thriving. Every one of you have a gift to offer. Sometimes you may not know what our gift is. Start serving people. Start serving others, and you'll find what your gift is. But you need to know that every single one of you has something to offer definitively to make sure that this is a healthy body. Let's just come before the Lord. Father, I just pray over each one here that they would know that they are an important part of the team, that they are on the team, that they have a role to play on the team, that they have something to offer, whether it be rebounding or playing defense or watching people's backs or whatever it may be. Lord God, that they are an important part of the team. That there is no one better than the other, Lord God. That we all have a role to play, Lord God. Father, I pray, Lord God, even in that person right now, Lord God, that might be thinking, well, you know, I just can do my best to just make it to church. Lord, help that person to know that he or she has a gift to share with the body. He or she has a way to encourage the body, to build up the body, to help the body to be strong, to help the body to thrive, Lord God, so that we can be the well-functioning body, so that we can be the church without spot or wrinkle, Lord God, blameless in your sight, Lord God, giving you glory, the head of the body, Lord God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.